Okay, so Perek Aleph, Mishnah Hey. Here we're going to talk about five different cases where a person can be kohen of something without himself picking it up or doing a kinyan on it. In fact, someone else will be doing the picking up, but it will be attributed as a swiss to him. And then we'll have like five contrary illustrations to those 5 points. So it says, Metzias beno ubito haktanim. If one's child, his son or his daughter, I'll talk to them, those are two different cases, you'll see the dinim are different, or katanim, who are minors. But this is not the usual definition of katanim. Here, the case of the Mishnah is, katanim means any child who's called somach al shulchan aviyah, meaning he or she relies on his father or her father to feed him or her. That being the case, even if they're 15 years old, let's say, so they're gedolim by all normal standards, still they're considered katanim in this case. And if they find something, what they find belongs to the father. The reason why the rabbis set that up is because they're afraid of mipnei eva. The father will be resentful of the children for not sharing. Here I am feeding you and you're doing nothing and you're not giving you. And then he'll kick him out and then they'll have nothing to eat. So as long as they're dependent upon the father, then whatever they find goes to the father. Both for a boy or for a girl. And again, katanim here means that they're dependents on the father. The third and fourth case is mitzias avdo v'shivchaso hakananim. If his slave, this is his Canaanite slave, whether it's a male or female one, since a Canaanite slave, this means a non-Jewish slave, is owned, is a kinyan guf, the owner owns the actual body of the person himself, so therefore he has no like independent status of ownership. So whatever he owns, picks up, it immediately, it's a pass to rent straight to the Baal, the owner. Therefore, whatever they find goes straight to him. And the fifth case is Mitzias Ishto. If one's wife finds something, also Hare Elo Shelo, what she finds goes to the husband. The reason for this also, this is more complicated. I don't want to explore the different, this is much more nuanced. But in short, again, with Eva, they didn't want him to come to resent her. And therefore they said, better for Shalom Bayis, whatever she finds goes to him. The complexity, which I don't want to explore too much here, is that could be that issue of Eva is predicated on the fact that he's providing her with food also, mazonos. The reason why that gets complicated is because, if that's upshot, a woman has the right to forego her right to mazonos. She'll say, I'll support myself, thank you very much. And then that will then reflect back in here. Will that then make it that what she finds she gets to keep? Because usually what happens is by a woman, her handiwork, ma'asiyadeh, what she produces goes to her husband, and it's like a quid pro quo. In exchange, she has to support her, and he has no right to say, you're not earning your keep. He has to provide for her, and she has to produce. But she can walk away from that. She can say, I'm a high-powered lawyer, you're a schnook, you know, I'll support myself, thank you very much, and you can keep, you know, your spending money for food. So, and then that would for sure work. So that's the complexity here, but we'll keep it simple. We don't, whatever, it could be, it's not nogea. It could be general. We don't want husband and wife to get angry with each other. Husband can, anyways, just divorce his wife if she irritates him, and we don't want that to happen. So, because of that, whatever she finds goes to him. On the flip side of these five cases, Matzias beno bito hagdolim. If his children, his boy or his girl, they're really two different cases, if they find something, but they're gedolim, then it doesn't go back to the father. What's gedolim here means? So, for sure, on the one hand, certainly, obviously, must mean the mirror image that they're self-sufficient. For sure, meaning they're not somach hashulchan aviyah. But that could mean, it's not an incident of age anymore. It could be really their katanim. In other words, they could be, they're 10 years old, the two of them are 10 years old. But there's a difference between boys and girls. When it comes to a boy, we say, listen. But both boys and girls, if they're less than bar bas mitzvah, they can't make a kinyan. So really, from the Torah's perspective, so from on a derisa level, when a child finds something, it doesn't belong to anybody. It's still lying around hefka until someone makes a kinyan on it, and the children have made a kinyan. So they can't make a kinyan. Now, midor rabbanan, the rabbi said children can make a kinyan on them so people don't come to snatch that kinyan out of children's hands. But it's a derabbanan kinyan.
Midor rabbanan. So the rabbi only gives the lulav and esrog gives you. That's the rabbanan?
Yeah, and it's a one-way problem.
Right.
Because since they can't get it back again. Exactly right. Their kinyan is a derabbanan kinyan. So, fine. So, well, that's fine. We don't want people to, you know, beat up little children to snatch the candy out of their hands. So therefore, we say the kinyan is a binding kinyan on a child, but it happens the only derabbanan. So when it comes to a boy, we say, listen, as soon as, if he's not somach al shulchan aviv, if he doesn't depend on his father, so from the time he's bar mitzvah, his kinyan amar d'oraisa doesn't go to his father for sure. Why would it? That was only a derabbanan, we said that it should go to the father because of supporting him. But if he's a child less than 13, and he's not dependent on the father, he's like any old child, he acquires something that's for himself, but it's a derabbanan kinyan. fine. So in other words, here, gedolim could really mean also, really in truth, 11 or 10 or 9 or 8, because it's not dependent on the father. When it comes to the girls, it's still more, there's two things at hand here. On the one hand, she may not be dependent upon her father for food, so we could say she's already the gadola in that sense. However, normally for gadola, for a girl, it's 12 years old. Right, bas mitzvah. However, the din here, she has to be 12 and a half, what's called a bogeris, not just a nara. The reason why is we're still afraid of Eva, we're still afraid of the father being resentful. She found the winning lottery ticket, and now he's messing her up. She's messing him up by not sharing, so he will then retaliate, potentially, by messing her up. How can he mess her up? Until she's 12 and a half, the father has the rights to marry her off to whoever he wants. So he can marry her off to the language of Chazal, the Gemara is a manuvel mochashchin, which means like a manuvel means like a low life, and a mochashchin means he's like got boiled, you know, he's like covered in whatever he has, some skin affliction. Well, he's a disgusting human being, so he can mess her up. So we don't want that to happen. So therefore, we said until she's here, gadola for a girl in this case means 12 and a half. Anyways, regardless of whether she's dependent on the father for food, she's still at his mercy in terms of if he's a nasty guy. So again, gedolim here for child means anybody not dependent on the father. For a girl, means 12 and a half.
Is there a question of degree in terms of dependency? Like if he's semi-supporting somebody?
I don't know where to draw a line. Mm-hmm. I don't know where to draw a line. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know where to draw the line, but the idea that Chazal had in mind is they are dependent to survive on the father. Without the father providing food, like who knows how they're going to make, you know, get food on the plate. So what I mean is
100%.
Correct.
If he's only supporting them 10%, but that's what they need.
That would not be to get him over the line. Yeah, then I guess it would still be a problem. Yeah, correct. And on the flip side, if he's giving them 90%, but already, you know, that's the second $9,000 of the month, and the first $1,000 they already make ends meet. So then that wouldn't be some chashal hanavi. Yeah. Okay, now the next two are Metzias Abdo v'Shivchaso Ha'Ivrim, Jewish slaves. So a Jewish slave, they're two different kettles of fish, the boys and the girls, but either way, they're regular Jews. They're regular Jewish people, and therefore they have regular kinyanim, and the fact that the father, the Baal, has some rights in them, all a Jewish slave owner has in terms of rights on his Jewish slave is their labor, their production, not their person in any way. So what they find is there's to keep. The din will be different for boys and girls, just for a second, I'll make it clear. A Jewish man, we're holding in 1-5, a Jewish man who, he can end up being a slave basically by selling himself into slavery because he needs the money, or by essentially debtor's prison. He ended up stealing something he can't pay back, or with a penalty he can't pay back, so he then becomes like an indentured servant. Okay, but all he owes is his production to this person. Now, when it comes to and therefore what he finds is his to keep. When it comes to a girl, so it's a little different. The girl is essentially, an Amavriya, a Jewish slave girl, if she is a katana. So what happens is, essentially the father gives his girl, like, you know, his 8-year-old girl to this guy to be her, to be his whatever. It is Amavriya. The hope is, this is the sociology of antiquity, the hope is that he will marry the girl or his son will marry the girl. That's the Rambanic, that's the agenda. That's why he's doing this, normally. he may or may not decide to marry her. But in the meantime, he doesn't own her as a person, he only owns her production. So she can serve tea and coffee, and that's that. So she finds something that really doesn't belong to the owner. But if she's a katana, so then really, and all Amarias are all katanas, so then what she finds really should belong to her father still, which would be true, assuming the father's alive, and what she acquires only midirabana anyways, because right, she's a child, so her kinyan is midirabana kinyan, goes to the father, if the father's alive, if the father's dead, then she keeps it for herself. Again, midirabana, her kinyan is a kinyan midirabana. Okay, and finally, Metzias Ishto Shegersha, the thing that his wife finds that when she's divorced, even if he didn't give her a ksuba yet, the wife gets to keep gets to keep what she found. Now the Gemara says, well, obviously, if she's divorced, what in the world is a chiddush? So the case, the Gemara explains, the case of the Mishnah is, which is what's called megureshes v'ena megureshes. She's on the line. How did she get on the line? Because he threw her a get, and it landed, you know, they're standing 8 amos apart, and 4 amos between her and him, the get fell, they're not sure. It's what's called Safik Karavlo. We just don't know who was closer to. If it was closer to her, then her dalam is the way out of his, then she is the one who's divorced. And if it fell into his side of the law, then she's not divorced. But we don't know. And like, we'll never know. Right? So that being the case, what happens is he's ushers to live with her. Then maybe she's not his wife anymore. And he doesn't have to pay ksuva, because maybe she is his wife. But he, yes, has to pay for her mizono still. He has to provide for her, because he says he clarifies things. The burden is on him to clarify. She has a right to it based on the marriage. So she, on the ksuba, so she has to get supported. So normally we said, b'mipnei eva, we don't want to cause the husband to hate the wife. Therefore, we will make what she finds have to go to him, so he won't cut her off. But here the rabbi said, listen, who are you kidding? He already tried to divorce the girl. Obviously, he doesn't like her very much. Her eva exists. So we're not making new takana to protect her from further eva. No, what she finds, she can keep. If he wants to divorce her, let him divorce her. But we're not getting further involved in that. Okay? That's the thing. Fine.